Today marks the 200th anniversary of an event that would ultimately change presidential campaigns, although nobody could imagine it at the time. On this day in 1815, the Nashvillian Andrew Jackson led a ragtag group of American soldiers to an unlikely victory in the Battle of New Orleans. As WPLN's Nina Cardona reports, that win propelled Jackson to become the first self-made man in the White House.
It's fitting that the Battle of New Orleans later became fodder for a country song. After all, it was won by rather down-home folks.
In 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans.
Jackson himself was a country boy who grew up poor and fatherless. His mother died during the Revolutionary War, and he was a teenaged POW. By the time the War of 1812 broke out, he'd managed to become a wealthy frontier lawyer. He'd even served a brief term in Congress. But Andrew Jackson was still just a militia volunteer, not a member of the regular army. And as Trey Gwynn points out to visitors at Jackson's home, the Hermitage, his American force was cobbled together from Southern farmers, local native groups, some freed blacks, and even a handful of pirates.
It's a huge contrast to the British troops, the Redcoats.
They were battle-hardened veterans in one of the greatest militaries of the time.
The men who had just defeated Napoleon not that long ago.
The British had more men, too. But they barely made a dent in Jackson's line.
We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago.
At the end of the short fight, roughly a quarter of the British forces were counted as casualties. Their top commanders were dead.
We fired once more and they began to run in. On down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Jackson had only lost 13 men. Technically, it didn't matter. A treaty signed a few days prior in Belgium had officially ended the war, but that agreement was no victory for the U.S. After all, the British had successfully invaded Washington, D.C. and burned down the White House.
The morale of Americans was at a very low ebb. The victory at New Orleans just amazed people.
Hermitage CEO Howard Cattell says trouncing the British so thoroughly was a shot in the arm for American pride. Andrew Jackson had done what the folks in Washington could not. He helped the country believe in itself again.
Within months, Jackson became a national figure. And by 1817, 1818, he is already being talked about as a potential president.
Never mind that every U.S. president so far had been born to the upper crust and come from either Virginia or Massachusetts. No president to date had Jackson's history of dueling or carried a musket ball in his chest from a fight gone wrong. When Andrew Jackson did run for the White House, it was a fight between the feisty Old Hickory and Old Man Eloquent, as John Quincy Adams was known, between an outsider and the establishment. Adams won in 1824, largely because of how things worked at the time.
In several states, the legislature elected the representatives for the Electoral College, so the voters really didn't have a say.
4 years later, when Jackson and Adams faced off again, that had changed. Hermitage curator Marcia Mullen says Jackson's homegrown military experience helped him invent ways of doing something brand new, courting the popular vote.
They did a lot of the same kinds of things that communities had done for Militia Day.
Instead of an annual day of military practice, there'd be a rally, but with similar enticement.
They would have a big beer brawl, basically, hard cider and beer and, you know, lure people out that way.
Bands would play his campaign song all about the victory at New Orleans.
For Jackson, he was wide awake. He was not scared of trifles.
And popular lithographs showing scenes from the Battle of New Orleans almost worked like a campaign poster or sign would today, as Jackson supporters pointed to his leadership against the British as proof that he had the right stuff to take the reins in Washington. But Adams supporters cited Jackson's experience in uniform, too.
They were afraid that he would be a military chieftain, a kind of a tyrant.
One flyer depicted the coffins of six men he'd had executed, calling their deaths Jackson's bloody deeds.
He did have some soldiers shot for desertion. By the rules of the military, that was all perfectly correct. But when you lay it out in public in front of everybody else, it sounds pretty harsh.
A lot of mud was slung in the 1828 election by both sides. The first experiment in letting the people truly decide who would be president was a messy one. But for the first time, more than 1 million Americans voted. Nearly 60% of them decided they could trust a Washington outsider because Andrew Jackson was one of them, and because he was the man who'd won the Battle of New Orleans. For Nashville Public Radio, I'm Nina Cardona.